FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. And hey, we always like to touch base with our sponsors, see what's going on with them. There's always things going on in the markets. You know that. We're really happy to have Patrick Donnelly with us now. Patrick, welcome back to the show. Your company, First Mining Finance, of course, you all know that. The symbol on the TSX is FF, on the OTC, QX is FFMGF. And if you're one of our European community members, Frankfurt Exchange, FMG. Patrick, hey, welcome back to the show here.
Well, thanks for having me on, Kerry. Good to hear from you again.
Hey, and you, and being president of First Mining Finance, we always touch in with you periodically, see what's happening. And you've got some interesting news, don't you?
Yeah, we last Thursday, we press released the results of a preliminary economic assessment on our Springpole project. And this is an update. There was a previous economic study done in 2013. And after we acquired the project last year, we embarked on a new study. And the results are outstanding. You know, it's one of the largest gold projects in North America, and it's also very economic. At $1,300 gold, it's got a 26% internal rate of return. That's after tax, and a net present value after tax of almost $800 million US. So it's incredibly robust and incredibly economic. So, you know, it's we're very, very happy with the results of this study.
Yeah. So where do you go from here?
Well, I think we got to keep going. I mean, given that it's a very robust project, we're going to move forward with the pre-feasibility study. So we'll start work on that immediately. And then hopefully, I don't have any guidance right now on the timing of that. But, we'll move ahead with the pre-feasibility study. And we're also going to start permitting for the project as well and keep things going. So hopefully the next year to 18 months, we'll have the results from a pre-feasibility study, which is a very important catalyst.
Oh, sure. And when you bought this project, obviously you had high hopes for it. First Mining had high hopes for it. What were you thinking when you bought it? Did you think it was going to be this kind of project, or were you just thinking it's a solid project and we'll be able to do something with it?
It's a good way of putting it. I always thought it was a solid project, but this economic study where we changed the scale of the project and a few other engineering parameters we updated, I'm actually pleasantly surprised on the results. And like I said, it's very, very robust at $1,300 gold. And the thing that I was very impressed is, even at $1,000 gold, it's still economic. So I'm very, very pleased. The cash costs are strong at $619 an ounce US. And right now, gold prices are, just around $1,300. So very high margin, very low payback. It's going to produce about 300,000 ounces a year, which is a lot of gold. So, I'm very, very, very pleased at the results. I couldn't be any happier.
Hey, I'm glad you brought up the price of gold, because when I woke up this morning, gold was down, and this is Monday on September 25th. The price of gold was around $1,293. It was down $5 and change per ounce, and I hadn't looked at the price till picked up the phone with you. Now it's at the 1308 and change. It's up $10.50, a great upside reversal. We're seeing a lot different behavior in the precious metals markets. Obviously, last year was a transitional year, but this year, these markets feel different, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. There's definitely a lot more optimism on the price of gold. We're seeing, as you're well aware, a lot of global uncertainty. Obviously, North Korea comes to the forefront of that. That's going to continue. We're seeing issues in Korea. There's issues with Iran coming up now too. And then So yeah, global instability is again coming into play, and not to mention, you know, I've always felt that you know, there's a lot of also economic uncertainty that people aren't paying attention to that I think could catch the markets offside, and that's going to result in gold moving even higher. So yeah, it's interesting where gold is right now, and I still continue to believe there's much upside.
Hey, and lately the loonie, the Canadian dollar's gone up a bit. We'll see if the dollar comes back, but the currency market has been in flux, and yet precious metals have really maintained some underlying strength.
Well, absolutely. I think we're in a situation where, you know, there's a lot of concern out there, you know, a lot of concern with you know, the balance sheets of governments, you know, most notably the United States, and you know, there's concern about China, and there's concern about some of the individual states in the U.S., specifically, you know, unfunded pension liabilities that are creeping up. And the state of Illinois, for example, is in a very rough shape. And a lot of the issues we've been dealing with the last 2 years in Europe, Southern Europe, haven't gone away. And, you know, we're still not seeing... You know, we've seen some recovery in gold prices, but they're still significantly lower than they were a couple of years ago. And so that's going to affect countries like Russia and Canada and, you know, Nigeria and Venezuela. And as a result, there's going to be more political uncertainty, and that's going to underpin the price of gold.
No doubt. And the companies that produce it, of course.
Absolutely. One thing, you know, people don't realize is, you know, we went through a pretty severe bear market for a number of years, and the major gold mining companies were, you know, just trying to cling to life and manage their balance sheets, but they weren't putting any money back into the ground. And now a lot of them have had significant depletion of their resources. They need to replenish those. So I think we're, you know, if gold stays where it's at, you know, and the money companies fix their balance sheets, they're going to be on the hunt for assets. And I think we're going to see at some point, you know, the next 1 or 2 years, a flurry of M&A activity, because these major money companies have to, you know, address this shortage of resources and reserves. And that's going to be good for us and a lot of other companies.
Yeah, especially because the majors have effectively subcontracted out or outsourced all discovery and exploration work. They don't really do very much of that on their own now, do they?
No, it's a very good point. You know, my background, as you're well aware, I'm a geologist, and I spent many years, you know, working in the field and major mining companies have never been very good at making discoveries. And I think it's because of the culture. And usually it's the juniors who have, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit, and also they're more likely to take risks and be more aggressive. They're the ones that make the discoveries. And as you've aptly stated, it's the majors that take them out or partner up with them. So, but the problem is there hasn't been any major discoveries in the wild. So, that's just going to make, this M&A activity even more, I think, active, going forward.
Absolutely. And that seems to be a trend throughout the entire resource sector, that the major companies are no longer interested in new discoveries, exploration. They will much prefer to have another company do it, take on all the initial risks, and be focused on it, which is something I think the majors really can't do. And then when the time is right, they come in and make acquisitions, and that's how they add to their reserves.
Absolutely. And that's it. You know, the other thing I've noticed, you know, and this is from my experience for some of the major mining companies, often exploration teams, they're not, like I said, there's a different culture, and often they're more worried about not losing their jobs as opposed to, you know, taking risks and making discoveries. So again, that's why, you know, the junior sector, I think, holds a lot of intrigue in terms of, you know, generating value.
Yeah, so they're in the majors, they're just not risk takers anymore. They just want to be producers, and they'll pay up for it at the time when they need the reserves, but otherwise they're just not concerned about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So where we're heading, it looks like stronger metal prices. Hopefully the world situation won't deteriorate into a conflagration, but that again is a net plus for metals. But as far as First Mining, you know, you bought all these properties up right at the bottom of the market, and now you're kind of sitting with your hand, if it was a poker game, you'd be sitting with your hand open, and all the players know what you have, and you have what they need, and you know, you're holding a really good hand at First Mining.
Yeah, I know. We're very fortunate. You know, our chairman and founder, Keith Neumeier, is just, you know, he's a visionary. He's always been good at knowing where we are in the cycle. And yeah, as you aptly stated, we have a nice portfolio of assets, and the important thing is, you know, with the spring pole premium economic assessment, we're continuing to add value, and we're getting a lot of interest from the major mining companies. I had 6 or 7 meetings last week in Beaver Creek. I was at a conference there, and these mining companies, I didn't approach them, they approached me, and they're looking and they see what they have, and they're very, very intrigued. So yeah, the future is very bright for us. I'm very excited.
Yeah, they're kicking the tires, huh? And maybe somebody might want to, I know we can't talk about this, but it certainly is possible that some major out there takes a look at all of your projects and says, you know, we need this company.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, if someone took us out, you know, we have about, 7 million ounces measure indicated, 5 million ounces inferred. If someone took us out, then they got, you know, a nice long pipeline of development projects. And they would never need to do another acquisition again for a long time. So that is a distinct possibility, and I think it'd be win-win for everybody.
Yeah, fascinating, and a really great position to be in, and especially because all your projects are in very politically stable areas of the world, namely Canada, with great infrastructure.
Yeah, and that's another good point, Kerry, because there's been a lot more noise lately about geopolitical risk. And there's been a number of companies in Canada that have been dealing with uncertainty in places like Guatemala, Colombia, and in Eastern Africa. So, we purposely, you know, focused on places like Ontario and Quebec and Newfoundland and, you know, in Nevada, and because we want to go to places where mining is welcome and where the rule of law prevails, and the world is, you know, the capital markets and investors are becoming a little more concerned about that. So it's something that we take seriously.
Hey, rightfully so, because if you can't develop the project, then it's really not worth much, no matter how great the ore grade is.
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's binary. If the government's going to steal it from you, then it doesn't matter what you have. I mean, there's some fantastic projects internationally, but, you know, sometimes there are jurisdictions where the government is not afraid to take it away from you, or there's massive community opposition. And they're very difficult hurdles to get over.
Oh, yeah. And we've seen what's happened to companies with expropriations and barriers being put up and such. Do you ever anticipate the day when you might be looking off the continent for other opportunities?
Well, you know, we have looked in Latin America. You know, we do like South America. We've looked in Brazil and Argentina and Chile and Peru and Colombia. You know, we've looked at some interesting assets. Some places we got a little bit scared off, but, you got to keep an open mind. If there's an opportunity out there and we think it's accretive and adds value, we would certainly take a hard look at it.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. You can't close it off, but you got to, as Keith told me a long time ago, you're looking first at jurisdiction and then you're looking at infrastructure. So obviously they would have to be present wherever you went.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So as far as the future here, what do you who are going to be the companies that really succeed and really cash in on the upcoming trend?
Well, I think it's the companies that, you know, much like ourselves, that have quality assets and in stable jurisdictions that can know how to unlock value and de-risk assets, you know, doing, you know, having strong technical teams and, you know, drilling assets, increasing the confidence in the resources, in the metallurgy, and moving things forward. And the companies specifically, they're in good jurisdictions. We're starting to see a little bit more M&A in Canada because major mining companies are becoming more reticent to go into risky jurisdictions. And there's even jurisdictions out there that at certain times that have appeared to be stable. And what happens is there's a change of government or the change in the economic activities in the country or global economic forces, and suddenly the country becomes a lot more challenging. And so I think those companies that are in strong jurisdictions with good assets are going to be in a very good position. And companies with assets in Ontario, Quebec, Newfoundland, and Nevada, Arizona, are going to do very well because geopolitical risk, like I said, it's rearing its ugly head again.
Yeah, well, it never really went away. It's the perception of the risk that you really are seeing come to the forefront now. The risk's always been there. Just people, the news cycle, the economic cycle, just to choose not to recognize it, but it's certainly always there. Okay, so as far as investing in the sector, what do you think the right move would be if you're Joe Investor and all of a sudden you kind of rediscovered the resource sector here, precious metals in particular? What do you tell that person?
Well, I think, you know, I like to toot our own horn. I think First Mining Finance is a very astute investment. And here are the reasons why. One, as I mentioned before, we have a portfolio of assets. If you want exposure to the junior mining sector, you usually got to buy a basket of equities. With First Mining Finance, we have a basket of assets in various jurisdictions at various stages focusing on gold. We have 7 million ounces of measured, indicated, and 5 million ounces of inferred. Second reason is, you know, as you're maybe well aware, we went through, we were a member of of the GDXJ, which is the VanEck ETF, and they rebalanced the entire portfolio and sold 60 million FF shares, and now they're down to around 40 or 30 or so. And so we're still just getting through that. And because of that, you know, the fundamentals of the company haven't changed, but our share price is incredibly undervalued. You know, we just put out the, let me put it this way, you know, we just put out the PEAs I mentioned before, and had a, you know, after-tax net present value of about, you know, $800 million US. And yet, you know, our market cap is probably around, you know, $300 million US. And then everything else, our other assets, get no value. So, you know, we're incredibly cheap and incredibly undervalued. And, you know, we're trading at around 70 cents Canadian, and that's not going to last very long. Earlier in the year, we were over a dollar, and I expect we'll be back up there again. So, you know, so there's compelling value there. And then the third reason is, as I mentioned, as you're probably well aware, Kerry, one time I was a mining analyst. And, you know, one thing I learned many years ago is when you look at mining equities, you really have to scrutinize the management teams. And mining is a very risky business, and therefore management becomes even more crucial. And, you know, Keith Neumeyer, who's our chairman and founder, he's one of the best in the business. He founded First Quantum Minerals, and he founded First Majestic Silver, and now they're billion-dollar companies, and our plan is to do it again. So, you know, so those are the three reasons why, you know, I think we offer, you know, a great opportunity to investors to participate in the gold mining sector. And as I mentioned before, this is in the context of, I think, some major impeding imminent merger and acquisition activity for these major mining companies to replace their resources and reserves.
Well, really, really exciting times for First Mining and for the sector, especially after so many, you know, so many dry years, if you will. And of course, take a look, go over to the company's website, find out about it. The website is firstminingfinance.com. Again, the symbol on the TSX is FF, on the OTCQX, FFMGF, and on Frankfurt, FMG. Hey, Patrick, it's always great speaking with you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Kerry. It's a pleasure talking to you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.